It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're with us tonight on the program. We hope you'll stay tuned as we have an exciting study planned for tonight. We're going to open our Bibles on the Virtual Bible Study and study along with you to find out what God wants from us in our lives. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, it's good to be with you on Thursday night, Virtual Bible Study night. We know we've got a lot of regular listeners out there who make it a point to be on the Virtual Bible Study with us each Thursday night. We're glad for our regular listeners. Also, hope we have some new listeners tonight who might be picking us up for the first time. Hope you'll bookmark our site and join us every week on Thursday night for the Virtual Bible Study.
Send us an email. Let us know you're out there. Let us know how you found out about us. We'd love to hear from you on the program. We're glad that you're here. We hope you have your Bibles ready, and we hope you'll take a minute to comment on the discussion tonight as we begin an important discussion of God's Word. Joining us to participate in the program tonight, we have Jason Schrader here. Hello, Jason.
Hi.
Jason's from way up in Indiana, preaches for the church in Monticello, Indiana, near, and I know probably nobody knows where Monticello is, Jason, but so I'll tell them it's not far from Lafayette, Indiana.
Well, that's fine.
In Tennessee, we say Lafayette, but in Indiana, they say Lafayette.
And also, my brother Jared Gwynn is here. Hello, Jared.
Hey, guys.
And Josh Overton's here. We'll hear from him in a minute. We're glad that you guys are here tonight to discuss this important topic, and we're glad that you're listening. Dad, we're going to have an important study tonight on the role that God has ordained for men and for women in the church, in the family, really in life.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, Jacob, we talk about topics that are sort of politically incorrect, and I think that's probably the case with the topic we have tonight. You would think that it would not be a controversial topic, but in recent years, because of the feminist movement and because lots of changes, lots of societal changes, the accepted roles of women and men and women, for that matter, have been altered. A lot of people have different thinking, different ways of viewing that subject. And so we want to find out what the Bible says about it.
Well, a lot of people have problems with what the Bible says about the role of men and women. A lot of people think the Bible is oppressive to women or maybe puts men in a position they shouldn't be in. But we need to remind ourselves at the beginning of this discussion that we're talking about our Creator, the one who has made us, and he knows what is best for us. And so if God ordains roles for us to assume, it is in our best interest to follow those roles. We will be blessed if we'll follow God's instructions because he's the one who made us, and he knows how we'll operate the best.
That's right. And I think, as in all things, God's rules are not just rules. He didn't just put them out there to see if we could keep them. God made rules for our well-being. And so the idea of man's role and women's role has been ordained of God because he understands what works best. He designed us, he made us, we belong to him. Therefore, he's able to know perfectly what is in our best interest, and therefore he has given us these kinds of instructions. It's not just rules. In other words, it's not just rules as a test to see if we can keep them. It's rules designed to help us and to improve our lives.
The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. What do you think about the role of men and women? Do you believe it is perverted in the society that we live in? What are some problems that you see with the roles that men and women have assumed in our society? 931-381-4567, or questions@collegeview.com. Dad, the world is messed up on the role of men and women, but sadly, many religious people are as well.
Yeah, I think many of our listeners probably saw in the news recently, within the last couple, 3 weeks, where the Episcopal Church in the United States has named a woman as their new leader. I don't know what terminology to use because even the terminology they use is not biblical, but Reuters had a news story on June 19th which commented about newly elected leader of the U.S. Episcopal Church, Bishop Catherine Jeffords Schori, And it commented about her being elected. And of course, she took on a controversial subject almost immediately when she came out in favor of homosexuality, said homosexuality was not a sin. So we know the Episcopal Church is pretty far out there in left field. But as an indication of just how far people have gone away from God's inspired word, they've named a woman to be the head over Episcopal churches all over the United States.
Now, these are religious people who would at least claim to be following the Bible, wanting to be pleasing to God. They say that a woman can be the head of the church, or their church. What do you think about that? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. If you're just joining us on the program, we're discussing the role of men and women as God has ordained in this life, and we want to hear from you. Well, that is important for us that we understand what the Bible teaches about the role of men and women. Let's go ahead and start with the role of men.
Yeah, I mean, if we properly understand the role of men, then we can use that and help understand the role of women. And first thing we might comment about, Jacob, is that it is God's plan and has been ever since the beginning that man be the head of the family. We go way back to Genesis. Jason, we go back to Genesis, the third chapter, and see that God made man head over woman in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16.
In verse 16, it says, "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you."
That's right, right there. You know, this was a consequence, by the way, of the first sin. This was God stating the punishment for the first sin, and part of that was going to be that the woman would be in subjection to the man. And it actually uses the terminology there, at least in the King James Version, "he shall rule over thee." So that's God's plan. He put that in place way back there in Genesis chapter 3.
In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, in the qualifications for elders, this is not a unique expectation of men, but one that an elder must be satisfying, and that is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, "one that ruleth well his own house, and having his children in subjection with all gravity." We see that it is a requirement of elders, Dad, and that should be a requirement of all men, to rule their own house well.
Well, really, we've often commented that the qualifications of elders there sort of state an ideal, and at least for men who have families, then the ideal would be that they ought to rule well their own house. And so the man is to be the head of the household.
Let's go to the phones and go over to Charlottesville, Virginia, and welcome Larry to the program. Hello, Larry. Welcome to the virtual Bible study.
Yes, I certainly enjoyed your program. Just want to make a brief comment, an observation on this issue. I, years ago, raised in the Birmingham, Alabama area, was raised a Southern Baptist, left that group several years ago to become just a Christian. And I noticed that even the Southern Baptist Convention had tremendous controversy when they simply quoted scripture about the role of men and women. And from my observation, those that are having problems in following the Bible on this issue probably have a view of the Bible of not being inspired. That's what I noted, at least within the Baptist church circles, is that those that are attacking Paul, they would, in contrast to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, that let acknowledged what he wrote was the words of the Lord, they would deny that. And I think there's an underlying problem that is reflective on this issue when people begin to question what the Bible says.
You know, Larry, I think that tells me one thing, and that is that the Word of God is impossible to misunderstand on the roles that is placed for men and women.
Very plain.
If you want to discount it, you've got to discount the Scriptures themselves, don't you?
Yes, and I do. Having attended briefly a Baptist seminary, one of the things that a lot of people are not aware of is that in these seminaries, the majority of the teachers do not believe in the inspiration of the Bible, including the Baptist college I attended, Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. My professor taught me that Matthew misquoted Isaiah, was flat wrong about the virgin birth. He had done his doctoral thesis on 2 Isaiah. Never read that book in the Bible. But that seems to be an underlying cause for a lot of this, that they are going after culture. And the reason why they go after the direction of culture on the role of men and women is because they really don't believe in the Bible.
That's right, Larry. These theological seminaries have been just a hotbed and a haven for modernists. It just seems like that's where they congregate, and therefore then they plant those seeds of doubt in the minds of all who study under them.
Yes. Well, I'm really enjoying your program. Looking forward to hearing some more tonight, and that was my comment.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for listening, Larry.
All right.
Bye.
931-381-4567 is the number to call. Really appreciate Larry for chiming in and his perspective tonight. Appreciate his explanation there, Dad. And it is true, as we begin our study, that if you want to discount what the Scriptures say, you've got to really question everything the Bible says, because it is so clear about the role that God wants us to have as men and women.
Yeah, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 5, Jared, Paul's very plain about the role in the family, man and woman roles. Talk to us about Ephesians 5, Jared.
Okay, great. Ephesians 5, talking about the house and how God has instituted the home. Verse 22, we'll read verses 22 through 30. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever hath hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and let the wife see that she reverence her husband.
So that's pretty plain, isn't it? About, you know, how much plainer could it be stated there? Let wives be to their as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Yeah,
you know, that's pretty clear. I mean, I don't know how. Sometimes it befuddles me when people talk like the Bible is not, you know, very clear on subjects. The Bible seems to be very clear on these kind of subjects, and that's a clear statement.
Well, we might have trouble understanding how a husband is to be head of the wife and how he's to be head of the family if it were not for the analogy that Paul makes there of Christ to the church. And that really helps clear things up for us, Dad. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is leading the church, and the church is in subjection to Christ. And that's the same pattern that Paul has established there, that should be followed between the man and the woman.
That's right. And it's this is not just a power trip for the man, and the men are not just supposed to sort of lord it over the women, because the passage that talks about women submitting themselves to their husbands also talks about the obligation of men to love their wives. And I've heard it said, and I think it's an accurate observation, that if a husband is properly loving his wife, it will not be difficult for her to be in submission to him. And so a lot of the success of that, we're not just putting it on the women here. We're saying that in large measure, the success of this arrangement depends upon the man taking that loving headship of his family. And I think it's clear that he's going to be accountable for how well he does.
There's an incredibly high bar that's placed there, because a man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and is to be in that type of position with his wife. And so it's not just an easy street for the man, where the woman has to be in subjection to the man and the man's got it made. No, the man has an incredible responsibility there to emulate the love and the leadership that Christ provides for the church.
That's right. There's plenty of other passages in the Bible that talk about the need to do this. Jason, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, speaks to this as well, does it not?
Yes, it does. In verse 7 it says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered."
So, again, the husband has the responsibility of headship, and I like the tie-in there when it says that if we don't do this well, our prayers can be hindered. I've made the point before, you know, you husbands out there, husbands and wives alike, try to sit down and pray immediately after you've had a fight with your spouse. It's for all intents impossible to do that. So that just shows that when our relationships are not maintained properly, it has an effect on our spiritual well-being. And so Peter was encouraging us to take on these roles, do them right, because our our spiritual relationship with God is in the balance.
Not only is a man to be head of the wife, the man is also to bring up his children as they should be brought up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Men are to be the fathers, Dad, who bring up their children in the nurture and admonition.
But you know, there's a big problem in our culture, Jacob. Statistics say that 35% of all men that have children never marry the mother of those children. We got a big problem in our culture about men not accepting their necessary God-given roles as being loving heads of their wives and children.
What do you think about the role of men, and what about the role of women in our society? Has our society got it wrong? Has our society got problems? We want to hear from you on the program tonight. Give us a call during this break, 931-381-4567, or send us an email with your comments or questions to questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name is Preston Jackson. I'm from Valdosta, Georgia, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday night.
Missed a recent virtual Bible study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the virtual Bible study.
And welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you'll give us a comment or question at questions@collegeview.com or 931-381-4567 as we discuss the important subject of the role in men and women as God has provided for it in the Scriptures. God is our creator. God knows best how we will operate, and God has given us roles to fulfill. What are those roles? How can we be following the roles that God has given for us in the Scriptures?
Jacob, another thing that we're kind of starting out, and I think rightfully so, talking about man's responsibility, and another responsibility of the man is that he ought to be a provider for his family. And again, this goes way back. Jason, you were reading for us earlier in Genesis chapter 3. Way back there in Genesis chapter 3, God suggested, as he spoke to Adam, the need for making provision for him and his family.
Yes, he did. In verse 17 through 19, the Bible reads, "Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return."
You know, that again is, that passage is in the context of the punishment for the first sin, and part of that was that Adam would have to labor and work, but the implication is this is a necessary thing. I mean, if you're going to have what you need, and if your family's going to be provided for, you're going to have to work in order to make it possible.
And that instruction was to the man. It wasn't to Eve. It was
right.
To Adam.
That's right. The New Testament pretty plain on that too, Jacob. Jared?
Correct. In 1 Timothy 5:8, we read that this is tied to one's faithfulness to the Lord. If you read in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel."
So there it suggests a person could even be a Christian, but lose his salvation over the fact that he hasn't provided for his own household.
The number to call is 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. We see here clearly the man is to be a provider for the family. We'll go ahead and raise the question now, what about a woman? Can a woman work outside the family to help make ends meet and help provide for the family? Is that possible? What do you think? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com.
Now, we're going to get to the woman's role here in a little bit, Jacob, but clearly it's a man's role. I don't know how anybody could fairly dispute or debate that men are obligated to provide for their own household. There's a problem, though, because in our culture, again, a lot of people don't work. I got some statistics here that say among married men, 6.8% are not working, And among unmarried men, 10.7% are not working. And so there's a problem with some who won't work. But again, the New Testament is pretty plain on that, Jacob.
That's right. If we do not work, we should not eat. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 says. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. The command is very simple there. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. A lot of people in our society have that all wrong. A lot of men in our society, sadly, don't understand their need and their requirement from God to be the providers for the family. What do you think? 931-381-4567 is the number to call, or send us an email to questions@collegeu.com.
I'd be interested to hear some of our listeners' thoughts along the idea of, this is not a political program. We're not debating politics, but might get some input from our listeners concerning the sort of the welfare situation as it exists in our current culture where we live and the things that we do, how that men and women alike, but especially men, as we're talking about here, are encouraged, basically, effectively given incentive not to work in opposition to the plan of God. Now, remember we said earlier, the plan of God is designed for our well-being. God intends for us to work because he believes it's in our best interest to work. So when culture or society provides incentives for people not to work, it's actually going against what God wills.
But a lot of it is so often the case when we have a command from God, it's something that we resent. We look at it as an obligation, a burden, something I wish I didn't read in the Bible, wish I had never seen that because it's a command that God demands of me. Yet we need to understand the commands of God are for our benefit. They always have been and they always will be for our benefit, not for our destruction, but for our benefit.
You know, I've always thought it's kind of interesting in the Garden of Eden, Jacob, in Genesis chapter 2, in a perfect environment. Now, this was before the first sin. And so the Garden of Eden constituted a perfect environment for man. I mean, ideal. Like, you could not imagine a more perfect earthly existence for a man than God had in the Garden of Eden. But in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." He gave Adam a job. In a perfect environment, it included responsibility and a job to do. And so then for anybody who thinks that the ideal would be not working or not having any responsibility, we're not made that way. God didn't make us that way. He made us with a need for fulfilling work.
That's right. We need to understand that. And you mentioned, Dad, that many men are not marrying, and when they have children, many children are growing up in families without fathers. And not only is the father not leading his children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, he's not providing for them physically. That's probably a reason why so many families are without fathers, because so many men fail to take upon the responsibility upon themselves to be a provider for their family. They're selfish. They want to provide for themselves and the things that they want, and they do not want to provide for their families, and therefore they do not marry. They do not raise up their children as they should.
That's right. Just a total abandonment of responsibility. I think you're exactly right.
Well, it's very clear that men are to be the head of the house, the head of the family, and they are to be providers for the family. But, Dad, it doesn't stop there. The role of men is also prescribed in the church. God has given us specific instructions on the man's role in the church.
That's exactly right. You know, we were talking there a minute ago about the Episcopal Church in the United States had named a woman to be their head, and that apparently has caused problem even among the Episcopals, because I was reading another news article here. Let me get it up and note that this woman, her name is Catherine Jeffords Scorey. She's been named the first bishop of the Episcopal Church in the United States. She's the first woman to head any branch of the Anglican community. The worldwide family of churches descended from the Church of England. This news story says, I'm reading from the Washington Post here. She'll not take up her new role until November, but six U.S. dioceses of the Episcopal Church have already rejected her authority, and that number is rising. Many church leaders expect that by the time she takes office, about five more, or a total of 10% of the nation's 111 Episcopal dioceses, will have joined the rejectionist camp. I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, as we said earlier, the Episcopal Church typically is very liberal, way out there in left field. But this is causing some trouble in the Episcopal Church about, can a woman have a leadership. This is not just some leadership role. This is the ultimate leadership role among Episcopal churches in the United States. They've appointed a woman. But the Bible is very clear that women are not to have that role, that that role has been given to men.
Well, about the Episcopal Church, if you can have a role like that, that we can't read about in the Bible, why not put a woman there? You're not breaking any biblical rule because we can't even read about that role. Right.
The whole organizational structure of the Episcopal Church is non-biblical.
But let's talk about the leadership of the church and what the role of men is in that leadership versus the role of women. We see that men are to be the leaders of the church, and we see that very clearly in Titus chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. Jared, why don't you read that, some of the qualifications there for an elder in the church.
Okay, Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may not be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers.
All right, there the role of elders is clearly prescribed, and we see characteristics that can only be filled by a man. Before we go on and look at those characteristics, Jason, why don't you read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, where we see those qualifications reiterated.
Okay, Jacob, in verse 1, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil.
All right, we have those qualifications clearly defined there. Let me ask, is that the qualification that can be filled by a man or by a woman, Jason?
Well, it's obviously a qualification that must be fulfilled by a man.
How do you know?
Well, it says in the first verse here, if a man desires the position, and then it also says that a man must rule his own house well.
And be the husband of one wife.
And be the husband of one wife. Let's not forget that.
But you know, there again, Jacob, you know that Episcopal bishop, she said homosexuality is not a sin, so maybe you could have a woman who takes the role of the husband, I don't know, in a homosexual marriage, if you can imagine such a thing. But I'm just being facetious, obviously. The passages are clear. The husband of one wife, a man. The leadership role that God has given in the church is for men. Now, we might comment here, of course, that in Acts chapter 14, verse 28, there are elders in every church. And these bishops or elders were the heads or overseers of local congregations. And as we mentioned, that hierarchy of organization found in the Episcopal Church is nowhere found in the Bible.
What do you think? What do you think about the role of men and women in our society? We want to hear from you. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or give us a call at 931-381-4567. In just a few minutes, we'll begin talking about women, the role of women. We've asked the question, what about a woman working outside of the home? What are your thoughts on that? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. We want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to come and worship with the College View Church of Christ at your earliest convenience to find out what the Church of Christ is all about. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for a period of Bible study with classes for all ages, followed by a period of worship at 10:30. Then on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, we meet for another period of worship. You'd be welcome at any of these services on Sunday, and we encourage you to join us on Wednesday night when we have a period of Bible study at 7 o'clock, with classes for all ages. If you need more detailed directions on how to get to the College View Church of Christ, visit our website, collegeview.com, or give us a call anytime at 931-381-4567. We look forward to you visiting with the College View Church of Christ very soon. Dad, we want to take a minute to let our listeners know about a special series of lessons that will be occurring next week at the College View Church of Christ every week every night through the week at 7 o'clock.
That's right. Next week, we're having our Vacation Bible School here at College View. It will be in the evenings from 7 to approximately 8 o'clock each evening, Monday through Friday. And we'll have classes for all ages. The teenagers and adults are going to be taught by Nick Law from Jennings, Florida. Nick often listens and participates in the virtual Bible study, has been on live in the past, and maybe something that some of our listeners might be interested in, if you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area and you're able to be here on Thursday night next week, we're going to do that sort of a live audience participation program next week, and hopefully we'll have a number of people who will sit in with us. We'll have our equipment set up in a large room where a number of people can come and join us and ask questions and participate. You can kind of see how we do the virtual Bible study live and in person if you can join us next Thursday night. But all next week, we'll have Vacation Bible School here at College View, and we want to invite everybody who's within a reasonable driving distance to come and join us and participate during that week.
There will be no nightly collections taken up. We would just encourage you to come and visit with us, study the Bible. We won't put you on the spot. You will not be embarrassed in any way. Just come and sit and study the Bible with us. We hope you'll come be with us next week, every night throughout the week at 7 o'clock. Josh, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we want to take a call from you, 931-381-4567, or questions at collegeview.com. We'll be right back after this.
Are you listening? There's going to be a test on this stuff. Stay tuned. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hello, I'm Josh Overton with tonight's Bible quiz question. The question is, who was cured of seven demons by Jesus? Who was cured of seven demons by Jesus? Stay tuned. I'll be right back with the answer.
Hello, everyone. I'm Britt Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like He has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the virtual Bible study.
Did you know the answer to tonight's Bible quiz question? The question was, who was cured of seven demons by Jesus? The answer was Mary Magdalene in Mark 16, verse 9. You can read that.
I had it, Josh. I had that answer.
You had that one all the way, Mr. Glenn.
I sure did.
Thank you for listening to tonight's virtual Bible study. Stay tuned for more exciting facts from God's Word coming up next.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad that you joined us on the program tonight. If you're enjoying the virtual Bible study, tell a friend. Bring them back next week. Be a part of the program. This is a interactive program where we benefit from hearing your comments, and we want to hear them on the program tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
Jay, we were just talking about that men are to take the leadership role in the church as God has ordained. We talked about we can see that clearly because elders are to be men and they are the overseers. We could comment that men are to be deacons as well from the same context that we were reading earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It talks about deacons. We won't take time to read that, but deacons are also to be men. They are to have wives, it says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. They're to be husbands of one wife, verse 12. So it's just clear that elders and deacons in the church are to be men. But, you know, the very bottom line here is found in passages like 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, where Paul said, "I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Woman. The head of woman is the man, he says there very plainly. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, 12, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And so it's just very plain. And again, it's not politically correct, but it's what the Bible teaches on the subject. Men's leadership role. Men are to be heads of families. Men are to be leaders in the church. That's just the way it is. That's the way God designed it. And if we're going to believe the Bible, now Larry, when he called earlier, mentioned that there's a lot of people out there just rejecting the inspired word altogether, but the Bible is clear on that.
Well, Dad, I think that this is such a politically incorrect position because people have assumed that if a man is to be the head of his wife, if he is to be the head of the house, if he is to be the one that the wife submits to, that is some type of denigrating relationship in which the woman is put down, she is insulted, and she is somewhat of a second-class citizen. What do you think about that accusation?
Well, I think the Bible teaches plainly that that is an inaccurate estimation of what God intends. For instance, a passage like Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 through 29, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In regards to how God values men and women, he values them equally. You notice he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. Well, he's not saying that and literally the genders have been dissolved, just as he's not saying that there are no longer any slaves. At the time Paul wrote that, they were still slaves. But if a slave and his owner were both Christians, then they were equal in God's estimation as far as their spiritual and moral value. Same with men and women. And so what the Bible teaches about men and women's role is not denigrating to women. It's not a put down. It's just different. You know?
And I would say it's exactly the opposite, because if we looked in Ephesians chapter 3 or Ephesians chapter 5 verses 22 through 33, that this relationship of the man to his wife is parallel to the relationship between Christ and the church. And is it an integrating position for the church to be subject to Christ?
Absolutely not.
It's actually an elevated position, right? Christ died for the church. Christ loved the church so much that he would die for it. And that is the same relationship it should be between the man and the woman. So it is just the opposite of a position of degradation, but it is an exalted position.
That's right. You know, we might think about other relationships in which some people have authority. In other words, when you work on your job and you are responsible and have to answer to and do as instructed by your boss, well, in that relationship, he has authority. But it doesn't mean that he's more valuable as a human being than you are. Or we could think about in our country, you know. Certainly, the President of the United States deserves respect and appreciation, but as a human being, he's not any different than any of the rest of us.
He has the same number of votes that you and I have.
That's right. And so when we say that there are authoritative relationships, it does not imply that the people in those relationships are somehow less valuable or less important than others. And that's true of men and women. God has made man the head of the family and the head of the, and to have leadership roles in the church. Women are not in those positions, but it does not mean that they are less important to God.
And that is a problem with the way that the world sees things. The world sees things in such a way that if a woman were to assume her role, that she somehow is insignificant and she's not important. And that's exactly the opposite of what God has said for us in the Word of God. What do you think? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com.
We've got a question from Dan up in Greenwood, Indiana. Dan, we're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study tonight. And Dan writes in, I think, a very pertinent question. He says, what does a woman do when the man of the family refuses to take on the lead of the family? Is it wrong for her to take on the duties in order to fill the void created by her husband? I think it's a very pertinent question, because that happens from time to time. When we were talking about the fact that there's a lot of men who refuse to take on their duties, refuse to be what they ought to be according to God's plan. What's a woman to do?
That's a good question, Dan. I think it's a difficult question, a difficult position for a woman to find herself in. And really, that's an encouragement for all of us who are men to assume our roles so that we do not put our wife in that position of having trouble being in subjection to someone who won't lead. But what about that? I think it's clear, Dad. Let's assume that a man is not a Christian. He's not going to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It would be important for a woman to take
on
some of that responsibility.
She steps up and tries to do more of the things that are within her realm. There's no maybe to illustrate the question, and what about if there was a congregation, a church, and there were a few men, but they absolutely refused to do anything in leading the local congregation in the way it should go? Would it be okay for the women to step up? Now, let's say there's this congregation of men, and none of them will preach a lesson or teach a Bible class. Would we say, well, since the men won't do their job, then the women will just have to step up, and the women will have to preach, and the women will have to teach the adult Bible classes? We would say no. In other words, now the women have to do all they can within the realm of things authorized for them to do, but they cannot step outside their role to do things that are exclusively the realm of men. We would see that, and I mean, I think that's sort of a ridiculous illustration, but sometimes the ridiculous illustrates the point. So in the family, if you've got a husband who won't do his job, then the woman's going to have to step up to do as much as she can, but she is still limited within the realm of things that are authorized for her. She cannot take on something that the scriptures would forbid her to do.
Well, let's take it another step farther. What if the man wants to lead, but he wants to lead in a way that's not according with the scriptures? Maybe he does not love his wife as he should as he leads her. Maybe he says
on Sunday, we're not going to church, we're going to the lake, you know, and you're going to go with me, and you're going to take the kids, and we're going to go to the lake, and we're going to have a good time, and we're not going to church, you know, we're not going to worship. What's a woman to do? Now, that's not a conceivable reality. I think those kind of things happen a lot. In that kind of situation, I think the wife would be within her rights to say, as Peter said in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men.
All right, let's say that the instruction that the man gives is, while it is not in violation of God's word on a specific instruction, maybe it's not a loving leadership role. Maybe what if the man says the wife has to get up at 2 o'clock every morning and make an incredible feast, a breakfast buffet?
Are you saying that's unreasonable?
Many people would say that's unreasonable. What about that? What about the man who says that? What's the woman to do in that situation?
Well, I think we said earlier, a man who would make such outrageous demands is not doing the right thing. I mean, he's not being a loving head of his family, as the passages that we read said. But inasmuch as a woman is able to do so, she is to be submissive to her husband. And so even if there might be some things that she would consider unreasonable, remember the text said that women were to be in submission to their men Jared, you read that earlier. Let wives be in submission to their wives in everything.
Ephesians chapter 5.
So even in some areas where the woman might think that it's unfair or more than she should be expected to do, she should be striving to be submissive to every regard that she possibly can.
The man is going to be held accountable for making those demands and not leading as he should. But it still is the woman's responsibility to be in subjection to her husband.
Yeah. So, Dan, you've asked a great question. I think it's a really tough question. And unfortunately, I think I've known some cases, and probably a lot of our listeners have too, where there have been situations where men refuse to take the lead of the family. Women have to. That puts a huge burden on the woman in the family. But I still think we have to say that it would not justify her stepping outside the limitations of the Bible.
I think you're right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com are the ways you can participate in the program. Thank you for that email, Dan. We'd like to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments, we're still looking for that answer. What about the woman working outside of the family to provide for the family? Do you believe that's permissible? We want to hear from you. Well, what about that, Dad? What about the role of the woman? We've talked about the role of the man. It is very important. It is very significant. It is often overlooked, and the role is not assumed by many in our society. But what about the role of women? Is it any less important than the role of man?
Jacob, certainly the role of women is not less important than men. It's different than the role of men, but it's not less important. In fact, I think the role of women is extremely important. And a lot of the breakdown of our culture has to do with the disintegration of the family. And women are, I think, very much the glue that holds a family together. And so when women fail to do their job, we really suffer. It's a very important job. I know we're coming up on a break, Jacob. Let me, as a lead into our break, into the last segment of our program, what about women? You've been asking. We haven't got any response yet. We need to get a response from somebody. What do you think about women working outside the home? Titus 2, verses 4 through 5, women are to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What about that? Can women work outside the home? What are the implications of that? Give us a call. Send us an email. Jacob, give them the contact info.
The number to call is 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. When we get back, we've got a whole lot of room to cover, a lot of ground to cover. We've talked about men for 45 minutes. The women are going to get off light tonight. We only have 15 minutes to talk about you, but we want to hear from you. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeu.com. We'll be right back after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world. The virtual Bible study. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to the program, and we're glad that you're with us tonight. We're glad that you've decided to join us on the virtual Bible study. We hope you'll be back here every Thursday night at 8 o'clock Central Time for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. We're talking about the role of men and women in the society that we live in, the roles that God has placed for us in the Scriptures. We're talking about the role of women now, Dad, and it is a vitally important role, a role that many in our society overlook.
Yes. Jave, you've been putting out the tease, trying to get somebody to take the bait on the question, what about the woman working outside the home? I know that there are some people who think that it's wrong for women to work outside the home. I mean, categorically wrong for the women to work outside the home. I've not personally been able to be convinced of that. I think if at all possible, it's great for women to be in the home and certainly when there are children in the home in particular, it's very important for women to be able to take on that role of mother and so forth. The text I just read from Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it uses the expression there that the woman is to be a keeper at home. That is, she's to keep the home. That is her duty. Now, that's her duty even if she chooses to do something in addition to that. So the thing I've tried to stress is that if a woman is going to take a job outside the home, it does not excuse her of her responsibility in the home. It actually, the job she takes outside the home is a second job. She's already got an important first job in the home, and she cannot neglect it. Unfortunately, I think that's what frequently happens is that when women take jobs outside the home, they do neglect their home duties, and that's a mistake.
Well, we see examples of women who were working outside of the home. Lydia was a seller of purple. The virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 was buying and selling. And so there is scriptural precedent for a woman to be engaged in commerce outside of the home, but we do see her responsibility there, Dad, is to keep the home, That's the God-given role that the woman must accept.
Exactly right. That long passage in Proverbs 31 that describes the virtuous woman has often been used to show that women, even historically, even in Old Testament times, had responsibilities that weren't confined to the house they lived in. You know, I think some would have the idea that they must just stay in the house, stay in the home, and do nothing else. But in Proverbs 31, it says in verse 13, it talks about her seeking wool and flax, working willingly with her hands. Verse 16, she considers the fields and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Proverbs 31:24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. All of those verses probably suggest some activity outside the confines of the home proper. But the context of it, of the whole chapter, is of her making provision for her family. And that was the key. That, in other words, whatever work she did was centered on provision for her family. And I just think that Christians in the modern day have to be very cautious that they don't lose sight of that priority, that that's the main thing.
Well, I think it's very clear that most in our world, and sadly many Christians, have been wrapped up in the material world that we live in, and the benefits of having two incomes in this material world are greater than many are willing to sacrifice. They want that extra material prosperity and are willing to sacrifice the woman's role in the home in order to obtain more stuff and more possessions. And we're going to be held accountable on the Day of Judgment, Dad, if we fall prey to the materialism that is rampant in our world.
Yeah, statistics say that over half of all married couples have the two incomes, that both man and woman work, and over half of the married couples in the United States. So it's pretty thoroughly throughout our culture, and it's causing some problems. I just think it really is causing some problems because home duties are neglected. And as I was saying, that can't happen. We're still accountable to God for our home duties.
Well, as we've mentioned throughout the study tonight, we've talked about the men being the head of the family. We have to understand as well, Dad, as we talk about the woman's role in the home, that she isn't to be in subjection to the husband, as we've talked about before. But let's reiterate the fact that the woman is to be in subjection to the husband. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, talk about that. Wives are to submit unto their own husbands. We need to not forget the fact that women are to be in subjection.
You know, but the women are also supposed to be active spiritually and working. Jason, we studied in a class this morning about Timothy and how that he had benefited actually from the fact that in his home, his mother and his grandmother had been some who were involved in training him spiritually.
Yes, we did. And in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, in verse 5, Paul is calling to his remembrance the genuine faith that Timothy had. And the reason why he had this genuine faith is because his mother and his grandmother trained him in the Scripture since his youth. And in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also.
Well, that...
So, Timothy was a great Christian, and Paul credited a lot of that to his mother and his grandmother, women who gave him spiritual training.
Yes, he did.
Well, a lot of people believe, though, Dad, as we looked at the women are to be in subjection. That's true even in the church, that the women are to be subjection to the men. A lot of people think, then, that a woman has no responsibility spiritually to be involved in teaching. What do you think about that?
Well, we just talked about her teaching children. We know she can also teach women. In Titus chapter 2, Jared.
In Titus chapter 2 that we just read a little bit earlier about women's responsibility at home, we continue in verses 3 through 5 of Titus 2, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
Exactly right. So there we've got women teaching other women. So we know women can teach children, supposed to. Women can teach other women, supposed to. That's certainly... So you think about how many other women and children that are in the world. A woman has a wide open opportunity to teach women and children. But you know, the Bible does not even exclude women from teaching men under proper conditions. Jacob?
We read about that in Acts chapter 18, verses 24 and 26. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. We see Priscilla and Aquila both had a role in teaching Apollos the way of God more perfectly.
Now, we know, since this is stated as a commendable thing, we know that she was doing it without violating the principle that we studied earlier from 1 Timothy chapter 2, that a woman's not to teach or usurp authority over a man. So her teaching was not in such a fashion to usurp authority over Apollos, but she was instrumental in assisting her husband in teaching this man. So women can even teach men under specific restriction or conditions, Jacob.
Well, that restriction, we believe, is illustrated in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer a woman not to teach nor to usurp authority over man, but to be in silence. They're talking about the church, Dad, and our role. They are to be in silence and not to usurp authority over the man.
So she couldn't be a preacher in the pulpit. She couldn't be a teacher of a class of adults, men and women. She couldn't take a leadership-type teaching position, but she can teach. She can teach children, she can teach other women, and she can even teach men when done within the restrictions of these instructions. So women certainly are to be active spiritually. They're to take on a spiritual role, and, you know, this it'd be wrong to have the impression that God just gave all that duty to men and women are not therefore obligated.
Let's quickly go out to Iowa and welcome Donna to the program. Hello, Donna. Welcome to the virtual Bible study.
Hi. The reason I called is what was brought up earlier about if a woman was worshiping and her husband didn't.
Okay.
And he forbid her to go to services. That never happened really with me, but Pat wasn't real happy about it. And I think that if we take what it says in Matthew 6 about seeking first the kingdom of heaven and putting God first, then everything will fall into place. That's what I tried to do with Pat. I explained to him that God came first, and if I put him first, then everything would work out okay. And he eventually saw a change in me from going and worshiping and serving God, and he became a Christian also. So sometimes not always doing what our spouse wants us to do is not wrong if we're putting God first.
I think you're exactly right, Don, and tell Pat hi when you for me. I think you're exactly right. We know Don and Pat out in Iowa and appreciate them for the stand that they take. Donna, you've done a good job by your example and influence, you've made Pat a strong Christian, and that's a great thing and a good example for all the rest. You know, my wife was telling me recently about a situation where a wife had a husband. He was not a Christian. He tried desperately to keep her from going to services, but she always went. Later, he obeyed the gospel, and he said, you know, if you had given in to me just once, I probably never would have become a Christian. But by virtue of the fact that she did not give in and she was faithful to her Lord and set that consistent example, she was able to convert her husband as you have converted yours, and that's a great story.
Thank you.
Donna, thanks for listening out there in Iowa. Tell everybody we said hi.
Okay, we look forward to seeing you this fall.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you, Donna, for your call, and thank you for listening tonight. We're glad that you're out there in Iowa. Well, Dad, we've had a good discussion. I don't really think we got to cover all of the ground that we needed to cover tonight, but we had a good discussion nonetheless about the important role that men and women must be assuming. As we said at the beginning of the program, God created us. God knows what we're made of. He knows what a man's made of. He knows what a woman's made of. And he knows how we best can fit into these roles that he's provided for us.
Yeah, you know, we said this is not politically correct, and in our society, in our culture, people don't like to hear these restatements of God's original plan for man and woman. But the fact of the matter is, look at our culture and our society and see all the problems that exist. Culture and society is not heading in the right direction as they leave God's word behind. They need to get back to God's word and we'll solve a lot of problems.
We've tried it our way, and it's made a big mess. Let's go back to God's way. God knows best.
Exactly right.
Well, Dad, let's remind our listeners one more time about the special series of lessons that will begin Monday night at 7 o'clock here at the College U Church of Christ.
We're going to have the Vacation Bible School next week, Jacob, every night, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock. It'll last about an hour. We'll have classes for all ages. The teens and the adults will be taught by Nick Law of Jennings, Florida. He'll be up here to teach us, and I'm sure we'll have great lessons for everybody. We want everybody who's within reasonable driving distance of Columbia to come and join us. Remembering, Jacob, about next Thursday night's live. Of course, the virtual Bible study is always live, but we're going to do a little different next Thursday night.
Be live in front of a live audience next Thursday night. And if you cannot make it, we would encourage you to tune in nonetheless, as next Thursday night will be an open forum. Any Bible question or comment will be fair game. There'll be no set topic next week. So if you have a question about any subject in the Bible, we encourage you to tune in. And if you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to join us live Thursday night when you can participate in the program in the live audience next Thursday night. We encourage you to be back here next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.